Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Ghosts of Phoenix No. 7 by M.L. Bullock. Narrated by Emily Lawrence and Cody Roberts. Chapter 1. Della Crocker. Moving her desk up here had been a marvelous idea, she thought as she hummed one of her favorite songs. It was an old one, from back in her hippie days. Truth be told, she was never great at letting it all hang out. That was one reason why she gave up that bohemian lifestyle all those years ago. She was a free thinker, like her sister Amy, but poor Amy still lived in that commune, even after having kids and getting divorced umpteen times. Della didn't approve of Amy's lifestyle choice. But she was a peacemaker at heart and had given up long ago on getting her sister to do anything she said. But why on earth would a 65-year-old woman want to live in a commune? Della shook her head at the thought as she arranged her supplies. She could barely stand to live amongst so many people when she had been a young person. But to be that age and still live in a commune? No. She was glad she'd left that lifestyle behind. Della had enjoyed her time here at the Phoenix Fire Station. Her life had meant something. She'd done good work here. Poor Amy. She had missed out on so much by staying hidden away from the world. Too much togetherness wasn't good for the soul, and the ranch, as the residents called it, was always a mess. Della Crocker was nothing if not orderly. She was also committed to whatever cause she pledged herself to. For the past 30 years, that cause had been making sure that the fire station had the financial support it needed from the community it served. This year's fire station fundraiser would be the absolute best, and not only because there was a significant celebrity lined up for the dinner, nor would it be the best because they had a popular band headlining the event or even offered wonderful food. It would be the best because she said it was the best, and everyone always agreed with Della. Even though she would miss it, Della thought sadly, she knew she'd made the right decision. She still had a few dreams that she wanted to pursue in her golden years, like taking that trip to Norway and writing that mystery novel. Yes, retiring made perfect sense. But it would have been nice to have had some help today, she thought sourly. Dragging this folding table up 2 flights of steps had been a pain in the derriere. Nobody from the second floor offices wanted to come up here. The third floor had always had a reputation, but Della wasn't one to put any stock in the idea or notion that ghosts dwelled on this floor or in any part of the fire station. To be honest, sometimes she did get the odd feeling that someone was watching her, and there had been those dark shadows that she saw out of the corner of her eye, but she'd never seen an apparition. Nothing ghostly at all. Not in the traditional sense. Yes, indeed. She thought, as she placed the pens on the table. Those silly rumors had been circulating since before she came here, but she had never heard any chains rattling or seen any ghostly apparitions roaming the halls late at night. Once in a while, she did get overcome with feelings of nostalgia, but that was to be expected when one worked in a historical building. So much life had passed here. Yes, she had had her share of sentimental moments whenever she remembered the families of the fire chiefs that had called this place home. Years ago, long before Della arrived, those families lived on the upper floors. But nothing scary in the slightest had manifested. It was a little musky up here, and perhaps not as cool as she had hoped. But here she could concentrate on stuffing, sealing, and addressing the invitations. There were close to 1,000 of them that Mr. B expected to go out in a timely fashion. It was a large project, but Della liked working by herself, away from the constantly ringing phones and chiming bells. It was impossible to completely immerse oneself in silence anywhere in this building. This was a fire station, after all. But a little quiet was always a good thing. Della sighed as she arranged the envelopes on the long table. In a few minutes, she would go back downstairs to collect the printed letters and maybe find an oscillating fan to help move the air about. Then she would sign the letters and begin the tedious process of folding and stuffing them into envelopes. She would need hand lotion, too. She hated paper cuts, and as her hands were always so dry of late, she was prone to getting them. The only downside to this task was the many trips that she would have to make up and down the narrow staircase. Not that she was feeble at all. Goodness, no. She walked regularly and prided herself on staying fit and trim. In fact, she just renewed her membership at the YWCA. Della enjoyed her almost daily laps in the Olympic-sized swimming pool. What other 65-year-old could do the things she did every day? None of her friends, but that didn't mean she shouldn't be careful walking up and down the stairs. No sense in inviting trouble. Even if she was as healthy as a horse, Della didn't want to break any bones. As she walked back downstairs to retrieve the stack of letters and the fan, she began estimating how long this process would take. Let's see, an hour to sign the letters, another hour to fold them, and then stuffing and labeling for another 2 hours. So about 4 hours in all. The wooden treads felt a bit uneven, but there was a reliable handrail. Making the turn on the staircase, she caught her breath. Why did she feel so panicked? And as quick as she tried to think it through, the panic left. Must be this narrow staircase. Della was a bit claustrophobic. That had to be it. This really was a young person's job. Why had she insisted on being such a control freak? Della, you may be retiring, but you're not old. Not in the slightest. No complaining now. Just get the job done and you'll be halfway to Norway. Mr. B is dependent on you. She would miss her boss a great deal. He was more like a son to her than a boss. But it was time to let go of this position and enjoy some time away. She'd always dreamed of traveling, and now her dreams were coming true. Funny, when she started working here, she never imagined that she would ever retire, or that she would be here for 30 years. But the fire station had been good to her. She loved the brave men and women, and their families had been hers by extension. She had witnessed so many changes. Some good and some bad. As a committed public servant, she felt she must do her best work, even up to the last day. She must leave the fire station in good shape, even though she in no way approved of her replacement. Della hummed that old song again as she tucked the letters under her arm. She searched the storage closet for an oscillating fan, but there weren't any available. None at all. She was sure she'd seen one in here last week. A broom slid down the wall, and she shrugged. She must have bumped the thing. Well, shoot. No time to worry about the fan. She'd just have to sweat it out. Picking up the broom, she propped it back up next to the mops and closed the door. She'd barely gotten back to her new workspace and deposited the box of letters on her desk when she heard footsteps coming up the stairs. Flat and heavy footsteps, like the kind Mr. B would make if he were headed up here to visit her. She couldn't think that he would be, because he had several meetings downtown today, but it was always a possibility. With a smile on her face, she walked into the hallway to greet him, but there was no one there. Must be an echo. She laughed and walked back to her office to begin the process of signing Mr. B's name to all of the letters. To her surprise, there was a fan in the corner of the room. What in the world? That was the same black fan she'd been looking for earlier. Are you losing your mind, Ella? What in the world? How did this get here? She probably brought that fan in earlier and just forgot that she did it. Or maybe one of the boys had been looking out for her and brought up. No, that couldn't be right. They were nice young men, but nobody knew she was working up here, except Mr. B. Well, what did it matter? She wanted a fan, she had a fan. After carefully positioning the fan on her, and not the papers, she got started on her task. As she always did, she practiced writing his name a few times on a blank sheet of paper before scribbling Carter Burke on all of them. She could use the stamp he'd purchased for such occasions, but it all seemed so impersonal. She'd only gotten about 10 signed before she heard the footsteps again. This time she didn't get up from her chair, but called out to him expectantly. "Hello? Mr. B? Is that you?" The footsteps continued, this time not just up the steps, but toward her office. She turned to try and catch a glimpse of her boss when she saw a shadow breeze past the doorway. It had moved so quickly that it startled her. Cold chills crept up her back, and she put the ink pen down, completely forgetting that the pen was a bit leaky, and immediately regretted the move as an ink dot stained one of the pages she was working on. "Shoot, I'll have to replace that and find a new pen. What was that?" She paused quietly and waited for the shadow to return, but there was no further sounds of anyone walking around on the third floor. As far as she knew, she was up here by her lonesome. Was it possible that what she heard were merely echoes from the second floor? The floor below housed many administration offices, and phones were always ringing, and... boom! Della nearly jumped out of her skin at the sound. It sounded as if someone had set off a bomb. But how was that possible? The noise came from the storage area across the hall, just past the old museum room. Nobody went in there anymore. Then she heard the footsteps on the roof. How in the world? Who was up there? The firewatch access had been sealed for decades, as the fire station now depended on its electronic sensors rather than the old-fashioned watchtower to spot fires around the city. Now, who would be up here climbing up on the roof except pranksters? Yes, she could hear them distinctly. She waited a few more seconds as those heavy footsteps clomped around the roof above her. She put the cap on her pen and angrily walked into the hall apiece. There were no lights across the way. She could not see the stairs that led up to the fire watch. Was something blocking that out? Usually, she could at least make out the stairs. As she traveled through the museum room and into the storage room, she flipped on the light switch beside her, but it would not obey her command. But she would not let a little bit of darkness stop her. She had to go and investigate. Della had a responsibility to protect this place. Nobody that worked here would do something as silly as taking a walk on the roof. It wasn't safe up there. Not safe at all. "Hello? You shouldn't be up here. May I help you?" Nobody answered her question, and she paused in the hallway. She could hear the sounds downstairs of voices, familiar voices of the people that she'd worked with for years. But the door to the roof was clearly open. Sunlight shone through and brightened up the hallway as whatever shadow that blocked it lifted. She breathed a sigh of relief. Ghosts didn't hang about during the daytime, did they? Of course not. Maybe someone was doing an inspection? That would explain it. But this wasn't the normal procedure. Not at all. Torn between going downstairs to seek help and getting to the bottom of this on her own, she waited a moment. No, I wouldn't want to get anyone in trouble, but I do want to make sure that that door is closed. Just as she decided to take matters into her own hands, the door to the roof slammed shut. And it slammed so powerfully, she was sure that everyone in the fire station would have come running up here to check on her. But nobody came. How could they not have heard that terrible slamming? Della practically screamed in surprise, but quickly regained her composure and was feeling angrier than ever at the intrusion. Many scenarios raced through her mind, but she could not fathom who would be up here. And how to account for the booming sound? Could it have been the door? That's when she saw the shadow. It raced towards her. It was about the height of a man, but with no details that she could see. No face, just shadowy arms and legs that were constantly moving. And moving toward Della. She could see those clearly. Della watched in horror as the man-sized entity stormed towards her. Just as she thought it would overtake her, she closed her eyes and sunk to the floor in an attempt to avoid it. She watched as the shadow darted around her and slid down the stairs. Della gasped for breath and tried very hard not to scream her head off. There were no further sounds on the third floor except that of her heavy breathing. No more footsteps, no slamming doors, nothing at all. Della cried as she replayed the encounter in her mind. She was still sitting there crying when Mr. B returned. Chapter 2. Sierra McBride. I hung up the phone and moved the mouse as I clicked on the computer screen. I waved the pointer over the icon and, after a few seconds of hesitation, sighed in disgust at my own procrastination. Like I'd done dozens of times before, I created a new folder and gave it a name. Phoenix Fire Station. That makes it official. We're taking this case. We have to do this. I quickly opened a document and typed in my notes from the phone call. I often did these preliminary case notes for Midas, so that was no problem. But taking this case was completely my choice. Midas was MIA. Yep, I had plenty of experience taking notes and asking questions during taken calls, but this was definitely different. I'd practically held an in-depth interview with the client on the phone, something Midas would never do over the phone. After consulting my notes so I wouldn't forget anything, I sent a copy of the file to Midas's email address just to cover my ass. Not that I expected he would answer me, but a part of me hoped that he would do just that. The loss of Jocelyn had hit him hard. He felt responsible for her death, but that was his modus operandi. Midas liked shouldering the responsibility for everything that went wrong. But nobody forced us to go to the Leaf Academy. I was there. I saw the whole thing. The maelstrom of the Leaf Academy had been a powerful entity, one that we had all underestimated, including Jocelyn. Not that she could be blamed either. That would be completely inappropriate. Nobody could have predicted that the maelstrom would kill one of us. Tragically, Midas Demopoulos, the leader of Gulf Coast Paranormal, had never properly dealt with his feelings about his young cousin's death all those years ago. I believed that made him vulnerable to the maelstrom's influence. His unresolved grief and survivor's guilt had slapped a big old bullseye on him, and Midas had briefly fallen under the spell of the ghost. Whatever it truly was, had targeted Midas from the beginning, and Jocelyn gave her life to save him. I'd seen a lot of things during my time as a paranormal investigator, but nothing like that. Nothing like the thing the spirit people called Ollie, the maelstrom of the Leaf Academy. We were never going back there. Never. We have to move forward. There were still people that needed our help. People that had to have answers, and who else would provide those answers except us? I shivered as my mind summed up the memory of Jocelyn's long scream and the awful silence that accompanied her fall from that roof. It had been the most nightmarish scenario possible. The Leaf Academy made the Amityville house look like Disney World. We should never have taken that job. But we had. And it was over. But we have to move forward. I'd canceled Mattis weeks ago. We need to get back in the game. That had been the wrong thing to say. Game wasn't the appropriate word, and I hadn't meant to sound unfeeling. But that didn't quite change the fact that I needed to get back out there, because if I didn't, I would never conquer the fear that rose up inside me and threatened to swallow me every hour of every day. Being an investigator was everything to me. That's who I was, and who Joshua was, even though he had a real job, as his mother called it. You are a poor counselor, Sierra McBride. You should have just kept your mouth shut. But when have I ever been able to do that? Nope. Open mouth, insert foot. I wasn't one to hide my feelings. Not well, anyway. Mattis hadn't been in the office in over a month, and the mail and emails were stacking up. Not to mention the requests for help, although those were certainly fewer in number recently. I guess that couldn't be helped. But there were some cases, and this one for the fire station had to be handled ASAP. Mr. Burke didn't sound like he believed any of it, but he was eager to make his secretary happy. A nice lady, as he described her, who was retiring soon. But she was convinced that everyone was in danger, that all of them were in danger. But could we really do a good job with just Josh and Cassidy and me? Maybe. Maybe not. But I couldn't sit back and do nothing at all, even after everything that had happened. I didn't expect there was much going on in the old building. Some footsteps on the third floor, slamming doors and shadows. But it was entirely possible we would debunk it all, and we all needed to do some debunking. I picked up the phone and called Cassidy. Of course, like Mattis, she was out of pocket and not answering my calls. She'd been shaken up too, but she often got lost in her painting, so I didn't take it personally. That's probably what she was doing right now. Sketching or painting. For the last dozen cases or so, ever since she'd been a part of the team, Cassidy had always been able to tune into the case through her art. And often long before she got the details of the investigation. She would probably call me back in a bit, as soon as she saw my missed call. After texting back and forth with Joshua, I made an executive decision. We are taking this case. Mattis will just have to live with it. Joshua sent back a thumbs up, but offered no further advice. Joshua wasn't one to talk about his feelings too much, but I knew he would support my decision. The Leaf Academy had put the fear of God in him. He would just as soon stay home with Emily if I let him, but I wasn't going to let him. We couldn't allow that thing to defeat us. Why didn't anyone else feel the same way? I was grieving too, but I was pissed off. Straight up angry. I was angry that the entity had taken Jocelyn's life. I waited, thinking the tears would come, but they didn't. There were no tears anymore. Not since the funeral. All I felt was anger. That's it. Whether Mattis was in or not, the Gulf Coast paranormal team was moving forward. Albeit cautiously. I picked up the phone and called the number on the file. Hi, Mr. Burke. This is Sierra McBride with Gulf Coast Paranormal. I'm calling to let you know that my team and I, we've talked it over, and we will be happy to take your case, I said with a smile. It was always good to smile during these calls. One could hear a smile in a person's voice. I wonder if he could hear me lying now. Not everyone was in on this case, but he didn't have to know that.
When can you start? I would really like to get this over with as quickly as possible. I don't want to sound insensitive, but this means a lot to Della. She's sure we're haunted by something, and there's an event scheduled here next week. A charity event that will hopefully bring needed funds to our fire station.
Carter's voice was equally warm. And it was nice to hear that he cared so much about his employee. Sure, I think we can have our report finished by then. But I just want to remind you that there is no guarantee as to what we will find. There may be nothing there, just a nervous secretary. It happens. He paused and answered,
I understand that there is no guarantee.
I purposefully smiled again. Joshua, my fellow investigator, and I will come by this evening to take a look around. Can you meet us there? The fire station is still in use, right?
It is in use, but the actual quarters for the volunteers are on the bottom. The fire watch is on the roof. It's the third floor that seems to be the problem. I'll ride over and meet you. What time?
I tapped my pencil on the desk and glanced at my calendar. How about 6 o'clock?
That's fine, Sierra. How long does this sort of thing take, if you don't mind me asking? How does it all work?
Joshua and I will walk through the building tonight using a few of our gadgets to check for anomalies like spikes in the EMF field. We'll take a look at the locations where there has been activity reported and see if we can debunk any of those activities. I'd also like to take witness testimony with a camera. Do you think your secretary would be willing to join us? He sighed.
Della won't come back. Not until the ghost is taken care of. Her words, not mine. I guess she would speak with you, maybe at her home, or somewhere else, but she wouldn't be happy about it. I think she's embarrassed.
Oh, I see. That's okay. I don't want to upset her further. So tonight will take us about an hour to do our walkthrough, and then tomorrow we would come back and start the actual investigation. Since it is a working station, we will do our best to confine our work to the upper floors. Mr. Burke liked that idea and sounded relieved that we were actually taking him seriously.
Just one more thing. Our folks are a superstitious lot. There has always been the talk of ghosts and whatnot over the years, but nothing solid. In fact, about a decade ago, a paranormal group visited here and declared the place empty. No paranormal activity at all. But then this happened, and, well, I think it's best to put it to rest if we can. If at all possible, I'd like to keep the investigation quiet. If you need a few witness testimonies beside Della, let me know. I'll see what I can do to accommodate you.
In other words, Mr. Burke wanted us to keep the investigation quiet to avoid mass hysteria. He wouldn't be the first client that asked us to do so. I wasn't offended. He had a fire station to run. That's not a problem, Mr. Burke. We usually investigate for 2 nights, and then it takes about a day, sometimes 2, to go through all the evidence. So we should have answers in a few days.
That long, huh?
I could hear the anxiousness in his voice. Yes, but I give you my word we will work as quickly as possible. We may even be able to immediately debunk the phenomena, and in that case, our work would be over pretty quickly. I could hear him breathe a sigh of relief.
I would like that, but the problem is that the door was sealed. I mean, nailed shut. I can't figure out how it opened without someone taking a pry bar to it. Nobody is fessing up to it.
I paused and stopped tapping my pencil. Finding a pry bar in a fire station wouldn't be hard. Sealed how? Nailed shut? Boarded up?
Yes, nailed shut. You'll see. Even if one of our folks had opened it up, they wouldn't have snatched it off like that. The nails are still in the board.
My stomach sunk. I didn't have much to say about that.
Thanks, Sierra. I look forward to meeting you all tonight.
Sounds great. See you this evening, Mr. Burke, I said before hanging up the phone. I'd barely gotten the receiver back on the hook when my phone rang. Maybe it was Midas? There was no caller ID on this phone, so I picked it up, hopefully. Gulf Coast Paranormal, this is Sierra speaking. May I help you?
Hey, Sierra, it's me. A familiar voice purred back at me. Is Madison? Oh, great. Just what we need.
No, Sarah,
He's not in the office right now, and he hasn't been in since he got back from California. I can't say why I gave her so much information, but I did.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?